Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and we are recording shortly after the victory over the Jets. We are recording this on December 18th at night, 8 p.m. Central, and man, oh man, the Lions 20-17 over the New York Jets in a wild victory, a game that was ugly in a lot of ways from both sides of the ball, but winning ugly is something that we love to see. So we'll dive into that whole game, this whole game, in a moment. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that's here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get the other two that are here. So we got UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
All right, gentlemen. So the Lions pull out a victory 20-17. They have fourth and one. At midfield, we've seen this play out a couple times this year, unsuccessfully for the Lions. But this time, late in the game, they draw up a... I don't know what UJ's doing, but... anyways, Ben Johnson draws up a beautiful play-action pass to a wide-open Brock Wright, a Brock Wright that had missed a 14-yard catch earlier in the game. And he goes scampering for 51 yards into the end zone to take the lead. And the Lions defense just holds out just enough for the Jets to miss a 58-yarder at the end of the game. And the Lions take it and move to 7-7. And within, oh, they're so close to getting in the seventh spot in the playoffs. So, you guys, I mean, your reaction to that fourth and inches play, just... and Ben Johnson and everything about it, really. Red Dog.
It was kind of like, woo! It was awesome, man. What a great play. What a gutsy play, like to, you know, let it develop and just trust your O-line and everyone to execute. And when all you need is inches and a QB sneak should be the easiest thing in the world to get right there. Like, oh, I love it.
Yeah, UJ, what do you think about them throwing out and going to sneak?
Oh man, it was great. But they talked to Brock right after the game, and he said, "Oh, we run that play a few times, you know, a year, and we've done it a few times. It just seemed like a good situation." Blah, 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 blah. Like, this is real low key, downplayed it, you know. But he executed that play to absolute perfection. If you watch it closely, you see the linebacker kind of eyeballs him, and he looks like Brock Wright is committed to the block, so he lets him go and breaks off to follow one of the receivers. And then Brock Wright releases, and he's just nobody near him. It was just well executed. So well done. Just a beautiful play at a beautiful time. It was beautiful.
I was thinking, where is Hockenson? We need him so badly.
Well, you might have been thinking of it for a second when Brock Wright dropped that one early in that same drive.
Oh, nah. Yeah.
But,
nah.
Yeah, that was a beautiful throw by Goff, by the way. The one that he dropped was a beautiful throw.
It was a good throw.
And Goff, you know, I think he'll get downplayed in this game a bit. Then they Pulls, he didn't have a great game, but I think really he did. He did what smart quarterbacks do when in ugly games. You don't give the ball up. You protect the
ball.
That
was the difference.
It was. Absolutely was. And if you look back on the, I think it was the Jets' last seven games, I believe, they haven't allowed a 250-yard passer in like the last seven games. He went over 250 yards in an ugly game. So we took one of the better defenses in the league, and we did okay. I mean, considering. So, yeah, it was a good game by Goff.
I said in the prediction episode that Goff was going to have a late touchdown drive to seal the game.
You did?
Yeah. I'm glad that came to light. It wasn't exactly what I thought would happen, but, you know. the dream is blurry a little bit before it occurs, but sometimes I can misconstrue a few things. But nonetheless, I mean, just Goff, like the Jameson Williams got behind the entire game. That was a poorly thrown deep ball. And that was a killer to see.
I think he thought his guy. I think he didn't think that guy could catch up.
Wait, special public service announcement. Here is the defense of Jared Goff. No matter what he does, announcement.
What do you mean defense? It was the raw bad ball. I'm not just saying, like, I think he thought this was one of those pitch and catch moments where you just don't mess up the throw because he's so wide open. You know, like, I don't think he really chucked that ball as much as he should have.
Right. That should have been near the back of the end zone.
Yeah, like, he needs to push it deeper.
I think he needs to trust him like Jameson Williams. Yeah, I think he needs to trust that Jameson Williams, yes, he is that fast. He will catch up to it.
Right. Well, like last week, he didn't need to chuck that. He didn't need to risk, you know, overthrowing it out of the end zone or something. He just needed to put it on him. I think he thought he had the same kind of play now again today, but didn't anticipate that corner closing like that. Mm-hmm. But I think you can anticipate him overthrowing a little further next time.
Hey, while we're on that subject, how do you feel about the way they're using Jameson Williams right now at the moment?
Frustrating.
More.
I'm just curious. I mean
we all want more.
It
just. I mean, smart. This is what week three of his training camp. So
yeah, right. Basically.
This is. I mean, they're using him like it's the preseason, in a lot of ways. So, he won't be full go to like the fifth game. Or there's three preseason games now. So. the fourth game, maybe. So I think if the Lions make it to the playoffs, he's going to have a bigger role. But in some ways, they don't need him. Need him, I guess. Because
he'll make things easy.
I mean, the way this offense is designed is everybody touches the ball. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. 8 different guys caught the ball today. That's par for the course, but 10 different guys were targeted in this offense.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, unreal.
We're like running a better version of the Saints offense than when we had Joe Lombardi, who was from the Saints.
Oh,
because, we have Dan Campbell, and he comes from the Sean Payton coaching tree.
True.
And this is very much like peak kind of how the Saints operated their offense in a lot of ways, getting, you know, stuff in the statue with a bunch of different guys getting involved, a lot of play action. And things of that nature.
Well, that's a great thing, though. I mean, you keep defense on their toes because they don't know where it's going. You know, they can't key on one guy all the time. You know?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's how you can beat anybody. But I was just saying the thing about Jameson is that Chark play when he had that real awesome crossing route for like 18 yards.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but thinking if Jameson's getting that play, he houses it because you see he had a line. Like, the dude caught him from behind. I don't think Jameson gets caught from behind there. Like, I want plays like that from this kid. Like, every time we go to him now, it's like a deep shot. And I like that, actually. Like, let him be the little racehorse out there now. Go stretch the field for us. You know, let the other guys hit the underneath and let his speed just scare the other team. And you can see that it would. Like, he gets behind him so fast.
Hey, just one comment on that catch, though, Red Dog. It was just a pretty catch. It was like he threw it right in his hip pocket and so casually caught it and brought it in and never broke stride. Yeah. It was really pretty catch on that one.
No, I like Chark. That was a good play by him.
Yeah.
Just James is faster.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I think we will see that at some point in the future. I don't know if it's this year or not, but... a lot of fun. Something. And I think we need to bring up somebody else he's been super low key. I don't think we talk about him enough. But obviously, with him getting the punt return for a touchdown, it is put more into spotlight this week. But Khalif Raymond. Just a guy that just is constantly stepping up and contributing for this team. He's second in the league in punt return average, and second in receiving yards on the team too. So don't underestimate his contributions to this team. I think part of that has to do with injuries and them having to step up more, but he's done it. So,
well, I don't know if you saw Campbell's press conference after the game, but he praised him just up and down, Khalif Raymond, and gave him the game ball in the locker room too. And definitely recognizing what he's done for this team. And you call him an Iron Man. He's never missed. He hasn't missed a game. He's there at every practice, which is invaluable. And besides his actual contributions on the field, the guy's always there. Really valuable. He's been valuable this year.
Especially when we were missing most of the receiving corps for a good chunk of the season there. Like, he kept us kind of potent.
But he's getting actual clutch catches these days, too. You know, like when you need that first down or something, it's not just, Amon-Ra anymore. Yeah. He's getting them too. So, yeah, he's becoming even a bigger part of the offense as the season goes on, I would say.
Yeah.
He should low-key be, like, going to the Pro Bowl, the type of year he's having.
Yeah.
Those type of contributions. I don't know if he has the name recognition, but he's been a beast punt returning.
Yeah,
I had a feeling he'd take one to the house at some point the rest of the season. I just had a feeling. I wasn't 100% sure it was today, but man, I'm glad it was.
But how valuable was the defensive stop on that to set that punt return up, though? The guy's punting from the back of his end zone, you know. He had to rush the punt. You know, obviously just shorter than normal punt and everything else. It was beautiful. He basically had to deke one guy out and, you know, score that touchdown. And then Houston had an awesome block on that, too, wiping out the last guy to stop him there. It was really awesome, awesome play.
James Houston. Go ahead, Rodon. Go ahead.
I was just adding to one more point on Leaf. In his interview at the end of the game, he was like, you know, no returner's ever dodged 11 guys. juked 11 guys. he called out all his guys. I just love the humility. And, like, he's an awesome dude.
Absolutely. Just another, you know, a guy that just fits perfectly in his team. Right.
Yep.
Love it.
It's a great locker room, even at 1-6. Obviously, to have this type of turnaround, you need a great locker room and a good culture.
Yeah.
And that's what they seemingly have built here. But there's still work to do, but we'll get into that in a moment. But, I mean, flipping it to the defensive side for the moment, James Houston, another sack.
Yeah.
ties an NFL record for most games with a sack to start a career. That's four straight games in a row with a sack.
It was kind of a gift in this one. He was basically unblocked. But
a good play.
Hey, you got to finish still.
I know, and he did. The guy's amazing. He's unbelievable.
Is how many unblocked guys explosive. Just like whiff on their sacks? So
yeah.
It's still a tough thing to do. And Zach Wilson's mobile, so he's not. It's not like he's in
right. No, it was a great sack. But a few good sacks in this one.
Well, I want to say welcome back, Romeo Okwara.
Yeah, Romeo.
Welcome back. Romeo, we're Peralta. We now know.
He's back. It was so great to see him back, man. If he can get back to that type of play that we saw before. Wow.
It looks like he picked up right where he left off after his 10 sack season. But I guarantee you he has been doing this nonstop inside his mind. you know what I mean? Like, he's just been, I'm sure, just doing nothing but simulating those moments and just learning. And you could tell that by his effort and his rehab and everything, what a flawless return. Like, one kind of nothing week, which whatever, and then I go off like with a performance like that. And he had some tackles on top of the sacks, like stud. I love it.
Yeah, I like the comment too on the way they use their D line in this game. They moved Hutch inside a lot in this game, and Hutch just eats people up because they're always double teaming, and his effort is just stellar. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He was great in the run game today, Hutch. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was. He absolutely. You know, he didn't get any sacks, but man, he's just so effective in there.
Usually, how about that Ferrari package?
Oh God,
or whatever you call it.
50 yards rushing for the Jets today. If you told me the Jets were going to have 50 yards rushing, I would have been like, the Lions are winning this game by 20.
Yeah.
We can get to the back side of the defense in a moment. But, Rud Dog, I think you had an extra point you wanted to throw out there.
Oh, no. I just wanted to talk about the Ferrari package or whatever you call it, the fast package with all those D linemen where you have Kaminsky and Hutch on the inside with Houston and Okwara on the edges. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's fun. Yeah.
Pinning their ears back in the end. Like, that, they were awesome. A terror. I mean, Wilson escaped with his life for that ridiculous play to throw, you know, for the near field goal attempt. But, like, you could just see the potential of that pass rush with those guys when you get those third and longs. It's so freaking awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of fun. A lot of fun up front there. And Anzalone, again, another great game by him.
Yeah.
He continues to be all over the field. Just a
now,
joy
Z,
to watch.
I just want to say, all right,
mm-hmm.
this should mm-hmm. be a lesson to you mm-hmm. not to give up on people too early, okay? I just had to throw that out there. Have a little
I
faith,
wish Connor was on the pod right now. You need to talk him, too, about Aaron Glenn.
You mean when he gives up on people instantaneously?
One bad play, he's in. Start kick him out. Yeah. Fire him all.
Who is this clown of the week? He was ready to fire. Oh, Evan Brown.
On his yeah, right. Oh, my God.
Well, that was a bad hold call on the touchdown run.
Yeah.
Yes, that one was.
I mean, was that the one when he got his arms around? Was it Gardner who, like, he got caught holding? Gardner got in his chest and his arms went around his back. Is that? There was two holding calls. What was the one where he came out like?
No, I think that was a legit call though. That was holding.
That's a different one, yeah.
He shouldn't have.
Oh, the other one. Okay.
Yeah, the other one. But hey, but you know what? It doesn't matter what the refs call anymore. This is Campbell preaches from the beginning,
no.
right? We don't worry about what the refs do. We don't. We can't worry about that. We gotta beat them. We gotta beat everybody. So no excuses, boys. No excuses. And
hey,
boy,
one more
the message
point on our...
is getting in.
Oh, yeah. But, one more point on our D-line is I think he deserves a lot of recognition. Like, you have Aleem McNeil, who's playing well, kind of up to what we'd expect and hope for, but I can't help but noticing Isaiah Bugs.
Yeah.
He's, like, becoming a legit just kind of terror. Like, he knifes through that line and makes big plays in back-to-back weeks near the – in the I think it was to help stuff that – that when we, you know, made him punt from their end zone, but he just mm-hmm. gets into the backfield. He's got that wicked spin move. He looks like a legit stud, and I think that's a big reason why our run game's so effective right now.
Hey, Z, remind me how Bugs got on this team. Wasn't he an undrafted free agent? Was he?
I'll have to look that up right now.
I can't remember.
Six-round pick out of Alabama.
This year. We drafted
six-round pick.
Or someone else did, and we signed him later.
I
think someone else drafted
now.
Him. We did not
2019 draft.
Okay. All right.
We didn't draft
Steelers.
Him.
Steelers. The Steelers drafted him in the sixth round in 2019 out of Alabama.
Wow.
A great find.
Absolutely.
Now we get Jalen Carter, turn him into a backup.
Carter will be the backup or Bugs.
You know what? I don't really care at this point. That's how good he's playing.
The Lions move back a draft pick right now. They're sitting at five because the Arizona lost. But I believe if the Rams win, they'll move back to four. The Lions would move back to four. I'm sorry, if the Rams lose tomorrow night against the Green Bay. Focusing back on this game. We talked about the D-line, the linebackers, but I think we need to talk about the secondary in this game.
We do.
It was rough.
Yes,
and
it
actually,
was.
They got away with a lot more because Zach Wilson is like he just whips it 100 miles per hour, and it either hits him or it goes like way over their head.
Yep. Yeah, he's got a great arm. There's no doubt. Lacking a little touch here and there, but yeah, he's got a good arm.
or accuracy. His mechanics are terrible.
Well, you know what? Hey, that throwback pass though. As Rudd Dog, we were talking about earlier. I think the one that scored the touchdown for the Jets.
Oh, the touchdown.
I think that's an underutilized play in the NFL, especially when you got a guy who can whip the ball. You remember Fields did that same thing to us too. He ran left, threw back across the field to an open receiver, and they kind of did the same thing here. You got a guy who can sling the ball like that, and again, we were a half a step late. Joseph seemed a little half a step late on this whole day, to be honest with you. But
yeah. Our D line also bit terribly on those bootlegs early on.
Early, yes, first half for sure.
They were killing us with him. Actually, yeah. I was glad they kind of stopped rolling out him out of the pocket and just kept him in the pocket after a while. They didn't try like any design, like play action rollouts or bootlegs. Or I was kind of surprised because that was where he seemed to be the best, when he's just running around chucking the ball deep.
Yeah,
yeah, that's definitely where they were best today. And I mean, part of that was Okuda did not look great in this game.
Yeah,
he had his moments though. He made some plays too.
But you're right. He had a rough game.
I mean, he had two pass deflections.
A lot of people think, like, he had some bad plays for sure, but I don't think he had a terrible game. Just not his best overall.
Yeah, Will Harris didn't look great in this one either. And it's more the key penalties that are the killer. Will Harris actually
so many
won. And then Okuda at the end of the first half. But I don't put that all on Okuda, because why are we playing single coverage when there's like 30 seconds left for them to drive down the field? Like, how is there no help over the top?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very strange defensive call.
Agreed. We were lucky they didn't score a touchdown right before the half. That throw to the end zone where Okuda was kind of on him.
Yeah.
It looked slightly like better throw as a touchdown.
Or it could have been a penalty.
Yeah, I don't think that was really penalty worthy, but it's something that could be called, though. There's no doubt about it.
It definitely could have gone either way.
Yeah, for sure.
So not Okuda's best game.
Though for as bad as the secondary was, they did make one very important play.
Oh, the pick?
A.K.A. the turnover, baby.
Yeah.
Right. Baby. Too bad our offense can turn it in like 5 yards of offense after that. But
what the heck, Jerry? I thought Jerry was like a straight killer, but he sees guys coming to tackle him. He's just like, I'm going to dance out of bounds. Like, what is he, Jerry Rice now? Or not Jerry Rice, Showtime. Who was that guy? He was kind of a primo. But like, I thought if he cut that inside, he might have housed it. He had two blockers in front of him.
Yeah.
But I'll have to go back and look at it.
Hey, that's a thinking of that. I mean, on that moment you're talking about Rudd Dog, I'm getting off the subject slightly, but Swift in this game earlier, who had a decent game, he had some good runs, and I don't want to downplay him too much, but there was a play where he had a good gainer that was going out to the right, and he cut inside instead of outside, where he had Sewell paving the road for him, and he cut inside and got tackled for a yard short of the first down. I question his vision when he's out there sometimes, what he's looking at. You know, I mean, we know how talented the guy is and when he breaks it, but I just got to question his vision on that. I really do.
He would have had at least five.
I had
more
to throw that in there because I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's,
but
he did run right out of bounds, though. He could have kept
look,
going.
He did. He didn't even try, Z. He could have, like, he had a caravan, too. If he, like, cuts that inside. Right before he dumps out, like, I think he scores.
Like, yeah, or he like slows down for a moment to get everybody else to get a block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But
Jerry Jacobs, if you're listening, what are you doing, man?
Come on, man. But on that play, how about that coverage scheme? They really baited Wilson. It was like the perfect defense for that route that they like. If you watch that play, it's Will Harris up on the line covering the guy to start, and he jams him and like shoves him towards the sideline, and he continues his route up the sideline, and Will Harris bails with on it for like into coverage, and then Jerry looks like who starts off over another guy but like 10 yards back and like runs back with him at first and lets him go off to Kirby, and then he sits down in that zone, and it looks like the guy running along the sideline is just running free, and that's what Wilson sees. But Jerry just, cuts across, makes a beautiful pick, and the rest is history. That was just a really cool coverage and execution there.
Absolutely. So taking advantage of Zach Wilson, who's struggled with turnovers and accuracy.
Yep. That wasn't even accuracy. So I was just failing to read the coverage.
Hey, but Wilson was a dangerous guy today. Here's a guy who got benched, you know, first round draft pick, and he got benched for the last three games, and now he comes back, a chance of redemption. And it's that's a dangerous guy in a situation like that, you know, because we know he's talented. I mean, he has the talent, he has the arm. It's just, and for a while, he was actually not looking too bad in this game, but we eventually got to him, so we did our job. But I'm just saying he was a dangerous foe today in this situation.
He was.
So,
but he was frustrating.
We took care of business.
So. It just seemed like every time he just threw the ball up, there was someone there to like jump up and grab it for his team. It was really annoying.
It was frustrating. It was.
Like one where he got like drilled and then he just, the ball's like a duck and like,
That was ridiculous. That was just pure luck. So that was pure luck.
Yeah, but sometimes that's what beats you, pure luck. And that worried me a little bit because, oh my God.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
It just seemed like sometimes their secondary was on their heels and not, you know, breaking on the ball, but kind of like reacting late and stuff. But hey, you know, they scrapped it together and when it counted the most.
They did. But that was still one of the wackier plays, actually, but not the wackiest play in the NFL today. Since we're doing this live, Did you guys see the end of the Patriots Raiders game?
Yes, I saw that.
Run dog.
Break it down for me. See what happened.
Basically, there's like 3 seconds left. The Patriots are on their own like 30, 35 maybe. And they're handing the ball off to just run out the clock. The Raiders are playing in prevent defense. They're going to take this thing in overtime, right? Ramondre Stevenson runs it about 30 yards to like the 50 or the 45, but there's no time remaining. So you just think he's going to fall down. We go to overtime. Nope, he pitches the ball to the guy to the right of him. Okay, because it was right there. It wasn't like a hard pitch. The guy was standing right there. That guy proceeds to run backwards 10 yards, try to throw it back to their quarterback, and the defensive end for the Raiders, who probably hasn't moved in the last 5 seconds of the game, Chandler Jones, he gets the ball and then just throws down the quarterback with one arm and runs into the end zone, and they win the game 30-24.
Yeah.
Oh, the Raiders won? Oh,
my God. The Raiders won on that play.
They're the they have to be the worst team to bet on right now.
Yeah, like, I was just reading an article, too. The New England radio announcer calls Patriots dumbest team after boneheaded game-losing play.
It was so stupid. Hey,
who's their offensive coordinator, too?
Does this mark the official fall of Bill Belichick?
I don't even know who to. Gosh. I mean, you just got to blame the player on that. But you got to remind your players, hey, just fall down.
Like, what in the world?
I mean, just mind-boggling. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. You always think you see it all, hey, and then you see something like that.
This isn't quite that ridiculous, but is anyone else like, what the hell was Robert Saleh thinking by not calling any timeouts of his three during that final moment of the game?
That is a great question. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Like,
they had a lot more time.
Just think about it. If they called a couple of those timeouts earlier, they create that. They don't have to kick with 1 second left from 58 yards. They complete that bomb and they got a chance to like drive a little further. I was just like, well, thanks, I guess. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That was the kind of dumb shit like I felt like Dan Campbell was kind of doing early on, just outthinking himself a little bit, you know. Maybe, I don't know, but like, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I can't even think of like a reason.
Thank you for bringing up the next point too. The Lions they don't have a kicker they can trust over a 45 yard field goal right now. Michael Badgley does not have the leg. And
what's his length? What's his farthest on the season?
Badgley? I think 53 against the Bills on Thanksgiving, actually.
He did not hit that one right today, like at all.
Ew.
That was a terrible kick.
I wasn't a big fan of like the decision to kick it at the time. It felt kind of like Minnesota Vikings game-ish, like a rehash, like 4th and 5.
Oh, I don't
their
know
side of the 50. Late in the game, I would have rather they went for it.
I was totally okay against it. Because
then they gave them great field position.
You're right. I'd
rather they punt it.
I don't know. I was mixed.
Obviously, really easy to say in hindsight, but I didn't like it at the time either because Michael Badgley has not shown he's not been very reliable at long distance.
He didn't show that he should miss that kick by 10 yards, though, normally. Like, well, he hit farther kicks.
I think that might have been part of Campbell's mindset, though, is to see if this guy can do it. Because I think maybe in practice he has the leg for those kind of things, but he hasn't been doing it in games. And that, you know, and he's been ultra accurate from closer in. So, I mean, maybe Campbell wanted to see if he could do it or something. I don't know. Who knows what goes through his mind. But
I was fine with the attempt. Like, honestly, anything you do there, you're kind of surrendering the drive. You're either punting or you're going for it. Like, you're taking a big chance. And, like, hey, he just put a chance on his guy who he thought could maybe make it there. And it was right on the edge of his range of what he's done. He's proven he could do it. Yeah, maybe EJ's right. It was kind of like a, like, let's see what he can do.
I think in the offseason, Badgley's got to do, like, a lot more squats and shit. You know, get stronger legs, you know, maybe leg curls. Yeah. And maybe, like, you know.
Like toe curls.
Calf raisers and things like that. Toe curls, yeah. All that stuff to get
ankle
stronger.
Curls.
You know.
Curls for all the girls.
So Michael Badgley, I could see the Lions drafting a kicker next year. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, hey, AZ, Cleveland did that, drafted a kicker in the 4th round, and look how that's helping them. Yeah.
Well,
so we've had good success
everybody's
drafting
different.
Kickers or / punters. So, I mean, there tends to be, when you pay for them in the draft, you tend to get quality, it seems. Like, there's a reason they're there.
True.
And you're willing to spend that money, that capital on them.
Yeah.
I mean, was Sam Martin.
The last kicker we drafted was Nate Freeze. That did not work out well.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that doesn't all work out. But Sam Martin we drafted, right? I'm not talking about just kickers, but, and he was pretty good for a bit.
He was.
Had that big leg.
Yeah. Just like anything else.
Hey, we haven't talked about the. I'm sorry.
What are we not talking about yet, DJ? I was going to get to the playoff standings, but if you want to talk about that first, go ahead.
I want to talk about coaching. We really haven't touched on the coaching so much. Mm. I mean, maybe we touched a little bit on Ben Johnson's play call there on that 4th and 1 or whatever it was. But I want to comment on Campbell, okay? I just think that has to be said. If you watched him after the game and stuff, he's so aware. He's so aware of what's going on with this team. He sensed his team was tightening up. He says, we've been playing loose and free for the last few weeks, and he's already sensing this and trying to nip it in the bud and telling these guys, no, you're tensing up. You're tensing up. You're trying not to lose on it. We can't let this happen. He's so aware of what's going on. And I think he's going to be able to nip this in the bud a little bit. I just think his hyper awareness of where this team is and where the pitfalls that are ahead of them, which being tightening up, which these guys will do. They start winning, and all of a sudden they're getting close to the playoffs. Now they have something to lose, which they never had before. And now and they're tightening up. And Campbell's recognizing this right now. And I'm telling you, he's addressing it. He's attacking this thing. He knows. I mean, I just want to give him a lot of credit right now with what he's doing with this team mentally. And I think it can't be underestimated. So I had to bring that up.
I 100% agree, UJ. Like, I think his true – he's like – I've said in the past, like, I think he has a really high EQ, emotional – whatever Q – what's the Q in IQ stand for? Quotient.
Emotional intelligence quotient or whatever.
Yeah. And you can see he's a very intuitive. He rides a lot on he uses emotion and senses emotion, and he understands emotion really well. But, like, the more I like guys like Ben Johnson talk about his brilliance and genius, I'm like, this guy is not just smart. Like, he doesn't just understand the emotionalist, but he understands things on like a really like intelligent level of just pure intellect. Like, you see it the way he breaks down his team and the steadiness and the precision of his messaging. Like look how he always talks to the press, and when he describes his team, he's like, look, we know we can win. And that's just, you know, but like he doesn't say we expect we're going to win every game. We're like, we know we can win. We have the fundamental aspect down that we can win. Now, every game is its own separate battle, but we have the team. It's sort of like his ship, his deployment, his arsenal, and like just the way he talks about it. I think it's so precise. It's so smart. And he knows exactly what's going on. And like his vision to me is like, you could see it coming now, like, and do you doubt that this is going anywhere but just up, up, up? Like, regardless of what happens these next three games, we know what we have in Dan Campbell and this team, and that's a clear vision and, like, nothing but excitement ahead.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, Russell Crowe in Master and Commander, where he had, you know, all the things that went against him, but he always found a way. You know, he's just a great leader in tense situations. So,
yes.
It's just funny because he's it. Like everybody's like MCDC, Motor City Dan Campbell. He's like a WWE like action figure looking type guy. And it's just so funny,
right?
It is. But you know what? That's the ultimate masculine man. You know, like he's not like some pudgy brainiac. He's not he's every aspect of masculinity. Like I'm like this as an example. Like you listen to his interviews and. And, like, I would say, like, this is the kind of person, like, I would want my kids to look up to someday. He's strong. He's stoic. He's smart. You know, he's passionate and he's emotionally, you know, he's very perceptive. And, like, that's everything masculine. This dude is, like, he's not that fatty with the pencil in his ear. He understands discipline on every level. And you can see it the way he lives his life. Like, look at the man. Like, does that man, you know, let himself be? Does he look undisciplined? Like, I don't think so. Dude's shredded. Like,
absolutely.
I love it.
And the Campbell press conferences, though, don't you get a kick out of it? Like, he sits there and he rubs his arm, goes like this. He does his hands like this all the time. He does this, you know, rubbing his shoulders and moves his hat around.
If you're listening, UJ's up standing.
Anybody who watches his press conference, you got to know he can't stand still. He just can't. It's impossible.
No.
It's really funny to watch.
Let's dive into the playoff standings. Okay. So the Lions, their playoff odds increased from 21% heading into the weekend. Then the Seattle Seahawks loss increased to 25%, and then the Lions winning has increased their playoff odds to 42%.
Woo!
And to think after they were 1-6, their odds to make the playoffs were 1.5%.
Oh my God.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild what is going on. It's hard to believe. It's like it's crazy right now. 7-7, and they could easily be much, much better without a few heartbreaking losses. Seattle, Miami.
They still finished 10-7. Like
crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
So let's look at these standings here. So the Lions right now obviously sit 7-7, tied for eighth with the Seahawks, but the Seahawks have the tiebreaker via the head to head matchup in Ford Field. But then sitting right behind or right in front of them at the 6th and 7th seed is the Washington Commanders and New York Giants. They're playing right now as we speak. The Giants are up 14-3 at halftime. That would be an upset. That would move so if that score holds, New York moves to 6th seed at 8-5-1. Washington would move to 7-6-1. And Washington's got a tough schedule. They play at San Francisco. A San Francisco team that's still trying to go for the 2 seed because they're right behind. Then they play Cleveland, and then they play Dallas. So they could easily lose one of those games. And the Lions winning out. If the Lions went out at quarter 5:38, they have a 94% chance to make the playoffs. 94%. Because then you look at Seattle. A team the Lions still have the leap. They are at Kansas City, a Kansas City team that's still trying to fight for the 1 seed, so they're going to be trying. Then the same New York Jets team, that we played today, and then the Rams. So they probably beat the Rams the last game of the season, but the Jets and KC, those are two tough Rams, games. They just got to lose one of those. Of course, and we still have the win out. But and then the Giants.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They are at Minnesota, you know, home for Indianapolis, and at Philadelphia. Philadelphia team, they'll probably be resting all their starters at that point.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the breakdown there of what, you know, we still got some rooting to do. It's not in our control completely.
We have a chance.
We win 10, I think we do it. We went 10, we got this. I don't think, I mean, I know things, but I don't think those teams ahead of us have the fortitude we do.
Yeah, and I don't think they're better than us. I think
I finally saw that that Raiders play.
Oh, you saw it. Okay.
That's a ridiculous play.
Unbelievable. Just so ridiculous.
Matt Patricia,
I mean, just
way to go, man.
Mind-blowingly stupid. I think America wants to see the Lions in the playoffs too. Like this is a team that I know a lot of people are like softly on the bandwagon. I get a lot of texts from in a lot of cases I'm like the only Lions fan a lot of people know in their lives, so I get a lot of texts from those people.
We're capitalizing
like,
on Hard Knocks saying, that's for sure,
right? Yeah,
the goodwill for Hard Knocks, like let's go, like this is how you more fans.
Your father, a notorious Bear fan who just makes fun of the Lions all the time, he said, hey, I'm telling you, this is in a serious moment. He said, you know, if the Lions ever really get good and win, the Lions fans are come out of the woodwork. And he's kind of right. All these people seem to be coming out of the woodwork right now. And I have mixed emotions on it because, like, we've been following them all our lives through the worst possible shit, you know, year after year. And now the success is awesome. I mean, I'm enjoying the hell out of it, but. It's like all these people coming out of the woodwork. It's just kind of funny. And the national press
someone
gushing, you know, it just kills me sometimes.
I saw someone like saying, oh, you know, if you didn't like, if you're getting on now, you're too late. Like if you dropped off, like, I don't care. Come one.
I don't care either. Yeah.
Support our team. Energy.
Yeah.
Energy, baby.
I agree.
Like goodwill is worth more than people realize. And like the more people who want success for this team, the better. I'll take it all.
Yeah.
Everything people are willing to provide.
Hey,
you know,
what's what's our first celebrity sighting going to be for the Lions games? What big celebrity is going to be out there?
Besides Tim Allen?
Slim Shady?
Well, yeah, but Tim Allen's been a Lion. Everyone's kind of known
Michael
that,
Keegan, or was it
Pete? Michael Keegan. He's been around for a while too, the past few years.
Yeah, they're not bandwagoners, but
we're gonna get Jack.
I bet like John Cusack or something like that would show up.
Yeah,
like
right.
The guy that's like
Sarah McLachlan, and she does a song ad for us. He's Lions.
Oh my god,
Kid Rock. He's a Lions fan, right?
Kid Rock's a Lions fan. Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen him or Eminem. You know, where are all these?
Well, Eminem was on Hard Knocks, you know, promoting his spaghetti company. So
I know, right? Oh my god,
mom's
a lot of fun. So just look out for that. It would suck too if the Lions don't make the playoffs, but a team like the Bucks make the playoffs who are currently 6-8, and then you got right now
unfortunately we can't help the Panthers overtake them next week.
The NFC South is hilarious. The Bucks at 6-8 are winning that division right now, and then the Panthers, Saints, and Falcons are right behind them at 5-9.
Ridiculous.
The Panthers, who fired their coach mid-season, could still make the playoffs.
Hey, Z, you know UJ, I forget which one of you was talking about, like UJ, the tightness. Like, speak of like the epitome of that before yesterday or whatever it was, the Vikings. Like,
yeah,
they've been struggling so hard to clinch the division, despite like they keep psyching themselves out like a little bit, and well, until they pull off that ridiculous game. But you can see that tension, and we kept it going by not letting them get it at home in Detroit, maybe.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, this has been fun. The Lions, like we mentioned, it wasn't a pretty game by any means, but a win is 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 a win. And that says a lot about.
Hey, our slogan wasn't pretty, Z. It was grit.
Yeah. Grit. Yes, grit.
Pretty wins will be next year.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening.
That's going to be our motto. Pretty wins.
Yeah, next year, pretty wins.
We want to thank sidelinereport.com for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. Go check out their articles. They write a lot of good stuff, especially, you know, it's a lot more fun to read this stuff when the Lions are winning, too, by the way. Oh, it's fun not to start reading about draft position and stuff this time of year. We're talking about playoffs and winning football and building a culture. It's so much more fun.
Playoffs.
So
we
go check that out.
We deserve this, man. This is great.
Instagram
the table, baby.
Instagram at drinking the blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at drinking lions. I put on Twitter today, shortly after the game, like, you haven't started drinking the Kool-Aid. Start now. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, kind of going along with what Red Dog was saying, like, more energy, the better.
Oh, yeah. Come on, baby.
And we want to thank our producer, of course, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid
J.
Oh, man. God, right. We should right. Got to practice
not our best.
One day.
We need to harmonize.
Man, that yeah. So, well, we... If you've made it this far in the podcast as well, we always greatly appreciate that because it always
real
tends to slightly go off the rails by the end.
You. We love you.
But we you're truly you. Drinking a Kool-Aid if you stuck all the way through, and we greatly appreciate the listeners.
We love you.
Even if you just listen for some reason. We appreciate all the listeners. So, and please download this, the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Subscribe, leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. But otherwise, thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back later this week. Actually, keep an eye on our social media. We might be doing a live one, and then we'll obviously post the podcast after we do it live. Still TBD on that, but a lot of fun. And yes, we love you all.
Love you more.
So much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Go. Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.
Go!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.